Hello, this is Robert Rickover at Body Learning, and today my guest is Maria Furiel, an Alexander Technique teacher in Buenos Aires, Argentina. She has specialized to a certain extent in applying the technique in the field of health and sport, and she also is a pioneer in South America in applying the technique to neurological disorders such as multiple sclerosis, Parkinson's disease, and traumatic brain injury. She works with doctors and athletes and is the head of training of her own school in Buenos Aires. Maria, welcome to the show.
Hi, Robert. It's a pleasure to be talking to you today with all our audience.
Well, it's a pleasure to talk to you. And in a moment, we're going to talk about specifically the application of the technique to health in general.
Yes.
But
yes.
Before we get into that, could you give our listeners a very short description of the Alexander technique?
Alexander is about changing the way that we think ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And all the rest, all start with ourselves. That's why Alexander say the use of the self.
Mm-hmm. So the idea being that when you change the way you think about yourself, say in movement, that's going to actually change the quality of the movement, right?
Yes. When we change the way of thinking, we change the way that we sense, mm-hmm. the way that we feel, and the way that we move.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, it's to change the way that we react to the different stimulus of life that mm-hmm. come from inside of us and from outside of us.
Mm-hmm. So my sense of people who are athletes in general is that their idea of getting better is to do more training, tougher training, that kind of thing. It sounds like your approach, if you were working with an athlete, would be a bit different. Is that right?
Yes. Well, Alexander is to do less.
To do less. So an athlete listening to that would wonder, what does that mean exactly? And how can that help me?
Well, I talk about that we are a global, a holistic intelligence, and the person learns to move, to exercise, that is no a word that comes from Alexander, but I was very used in a sport, with the less effort, just with what only the mind and the body need.
Mm-hmm. And by less effort, do you mean less effort that's not useful?
Yes, the unnecessary effort. That's why Alexander talk about integrate the different parts of the body in another way. When, for example, if I'm going to run, I know that first I need to coordinate head, neck, and back,
mm-hmm.
but not to overuse my legs, not to overuse my thighs, not to overuse my shoulder. This is to reorder the whole body, the puzzle that we are. And this a specific part, if I am going to use your arms, have to be in coordination with your whole torso, with your head, and with your legs. It's all the time to check that you are not doing unnecessary contraction, unnecessary effort in this part.
Mm-hmm. And so when you have an athlete come to you for lessons or a group class or whatever, how do you approach working with them? Do you start with them in their actual athletic activities, or would you do more sort of chair work or table work, that sort of thing first?
Well, really, it depends on the day and the person, but I like to work to giving the individual a lot of sensomotor experiences. You know, it's like when we learn to walk,
mm-hmm.
and then it's not only in the chair, in the walking, is that the person can roll, can sit from a mat, or can bend. in different activities where the person start to send first how much he tends his body in excess, how much his mind is working unnecessarily.
So, and then, I mean, do you encounter very much resistance from athletes to that approach?
Well, there are some athletes that say, no, I don't like to think, because they go into just doing, learn a stereotypical technique. But others are, well, more open, more flexible mentally first. And then they like to change because they see, maybe they don't send, you know, at the beginning, they don't send consciously what we are showing to them. But they can understand when they are running, when they are exercising, when they are doing the performance, because it's more, it's easier, it's faster. The breathing comes by itself, or the movement is easier. They go faster, you know. It's really when they do that they understand the difference.
So part of how you teach might be to give them some direct experience using your hands, for example, to guide them. And then they'll have the experience, and then at some point maybe they'll say, well, this seems like a good thing to pursue. Is that kind of what you're saying here?
Yeah, exactly, because they experience that the body is working in a more intelligent way. The mind doesn't get fatigued so easily. Well, they want to come back to have this experience, you know. I have athletes, for example, that they could run for a long time without stopping, like when they run in the mountain. But they could after the lessons, and then, well, they want to keep improving. They want this difference in the quality of the way that they do.
So I guess that what you're doing in a way is tapping into athletes' desire to get to do better, and you're showing them a way that maybe they had never considered before. But
no,
because
it's taught in the reverse way, that they need to try hard to be better.
Yes,
and really is so simple. You know, it's just to allow the natural functioning of our mind and body work. It's not to, the mind doesn't like to work in excess. It's just, it's very subtle, the good thinking. You just don't need to try to do anything. It's just this internal decision of what you want to achieve and focus in this process in an ordered way. You need to do one step at a time and following the next, like Alexander said in the books. And then you did the way without realizing.
And how would you say, just shifting gears a little bit here, how would you say the technique can be helpful for general overall health?
Well, it's a lot, because I find that mainly the cause is the same, is this stumbling block attitude or this lack of communication with our reason. For example, in Parkinson's disease, I can see that it's a main reason there, a common one, that all the patients are always very worried, very tense, and they are in a vicious circle where they are thinking, well, my teaching is there to teach them that they can break this way of thinking all the time in the same way, that affects their nervous system, affects the way that they cannot walk properly. They are all the time tense, well, you know, to have a better quality of life. And I can see improvement in the nervous system, because I believe that the way that we think determines the way that all our brain works. And it's again giving them these multiple senses working together in the actions, in the physical actions, where they realize that they can think different, that they don't need to be worried, you know, because the main problem I find is that our mind is not logical. And then all the time you are working with these fantasies, these preconcepts that are not, doesn't have fundament, you know, but you need to show in the people with neurological problems, it's a little harder, you know, because, well, it's reinforced this kind of obsessive thinking all the time that they cannot get out, you know. Mm-hmm. But you show the difference. You show and people start to trust on you because they see, they feel better. They see in themselves that they can move the arms, that they recover the natural flexibility, that they can sleep better. You know, it's in this daily actions that we do constantly, mm-hmm. that they improve.
So here's a question that maybe people have asked you before, but
yeah.
The way you describe, you know, helping people change their thinking, affecting their lives, how does what you do differ from what, say, psychoanalysis might do, or psychotherapy, let's say? How does what you do differ from that? Because those ideas tend to want to change your thinking too, right?
Yes.
But there's something a little different about the Alexander technique.
It's very different because always our thinking is shown in our body, in mm-hmm. our movements, and how our heart is talking to us, how is the muscle tone in our body. Our skin talks first before our logical thinking. Mm-hmm. And then when you give them this conscious sensation, that they start to feel different, they start to sense more their body, they feel better with themselves because, you know, the body is like a channel of our being mm-hmm. in some way. And then they start to be more conscious of their sensations, and they don't want to come back to the tension, you know, to this uncomfortable way of sitting or that they cannot move. Mm-hmm. It's through this conscious sensation always with the conscious thinking, and then you integrate what is conscious and what is not conscious.
Mm-hmm. So when you work with a student and help them and they take that information into an activity like walking or running or whatever, they're getting very direct feedback about that this is helpful. Whereas if you go to a counselor or a psychotherapist, they might say, you know, change your thinking in this way, and it might take weeks or months before anything happens that you could notice, or maybe you're just not sure. But it sounds like you give people something that they can pretty quickly tell is helpful. Would
yes.
that be fair to say?
Yes, specifically because I work all the time with mirrors.
Mm-hmm.
And then you say to the person, well, where you are now? Mm-hmm. What are you doing now? What are you sensing? And you know, the person senses that it's straight, mm-hmm. although we are not straight. I say with a good posture. I don't like to talk about posture really, but that is standing up.
Mm-hmm.
Or is there in a way that what he's sensing is not what he's really doing? And then, I ask to watch themselves in the mirrors. Wow, they start to doubt. There is the start of the new thinking, you know, a new idea. What am I doing here? I'm doing what I'm sensing. Mm-hmm. And then, it's constantly this consciousness through the visual, the senses, the listening of his body, all the senses work together. But the visual aspect is very important mm-hmm. because, you know, we never pay attention too much to ourselves during the day. The person don't stop and look in the mirror, really. And then in Alexander lessons, we stop just stop knowing a static way. We just take the attention to watch ourselves in the mirror, what we are doing. From there, it's this time that where the person start to stop what he was doing before and act, think, move, sense differently.
Right. So even though the work you do is in some ways primarily helping people change their thinking to start with, the results are so grounded in reality, reality that they can sense or they can see using a mirror, that in a way it's a very powerful teaching technique, right? For that for that reason.
Because, you know, in neurology it's called mirror neurons. Well, it's our hands, our connection with the students, the mirror, is all these new environment, new perceptions that appear that are essential. Because the person, for example, start to bend in a more coordinated way. Well, he feels, he senses that he's not straight. I mean, working in a better way with the back and the head, neck and back. But when he look in the mirror, he surprised himself, you know, because he realized that, he's better. His back is much better in a space, although he senses the opposite. And then he start to believe on you.
I suppose also fairly quickly, other people who know the person will comment on what they see. So is there anything else that you would like to add to this general topic, Alexander technique and health, that we haven't covered?
I'd like to say that it comes from your experience as a student. I explore a lot with myself, and I'm really, Alexander taught me to live in a better way, and is what I transmit to my students, you know, and to my family. I learn all by experience. It's this that cannot be explained and nobody can teach you. It's something that you sense, you think. Is that, I just simple like to give my own experience to my students. I really love what I do, Alexander. For me, it was a genius, and more in these times, I think it's so important that people come to our world, Alexander world, to have a better life, a consciousness.
I think the hardest thing for people who have not had experience with the Alexander technique is to really accept the idea that someone can help you change the way you think, and that's going to produce a concrete result. I think that's the part that's hard for people to accept who haven't had the experience. Do you find that as well?
Yeah, but general people got really tired or trying different techniques and it didn't work, you know.
Right.
Come here and notice, feel, sense the difference, you know. And then they believe. It's by experience that they believe. But it's something that goes together, teacher and student, you know. You need to believe what you do, and the teachers believe on himself specifically, you know. Right. He need to believe that what he's doing is good. But this is responsibility of the teacher. That's why I say, if you don't have this experience and you don't find this balance on yourself, you cannot teach that really. Because,
right,
you know,
right,
we transmit our being. We connect with others mainly unconsciously. All happen in a... from our inside, you know.
So, I mean, you raise a really interesting point there, that people who teach, that you can't really be an effective teacher of the Alexander technique if you haven't yourself gone through the very processes that you're teaching.
No, exactly. Yeah. And how to have a balance psychologically too. For example, in my own experience before, and at the same time that I was doing the Alexander training, I did psychotherapy, you know, because, you know, Alexander is a kind of psychotherapy, because all your inheritance appear there, your muscle tone, in the way that you think. It's so important to work with the whole being, and implies only all this personality that you inherit, to be conscious and decide from there what you want to do, to keep creating your own personality. It's priority to have this balance as a teacher, psychologically, emotionally, physically, and mentally, because it's what you transmit with your hands, with your sense, that is the deepest aspect of ourselves, is this primitive reflexes acting there, as Alexander talked. You know, this primary reflex that we really developed with Alexander. Now the neurology is starting to discover something about what Alexander did. I think without knowing anatomy, neurology, Matthias Alexander discovered something big, how the whole human being behave, and how we can improve the way that we are and the others.
I agree completely with that. I think developments in neuroscience in general are very much in line with Alexander's ideas, although he was not, of course, trained in that field. Maria, I think this would be a good time to bring our conversation to a close.
Thank you.
My guest today has been Maria Forio, I hope I pronounced that right. Who is an Alexander Technique teacher in Buenos Aires. And if you're in that area and what we've talked about intrigues you, I'll put a link to her website and you can contact her. She also teaches not just in Buenos Aires, but in other locations in Argentina, I believe. So if you live in Argentina, get hold of her. I'll also put a link to a website that'll tell you more about the Alexander Technique and will enable you to find a teacher anywhere in the world. Maria, thank you so much for this. It's been really fun.
The same. Thank you so much.